Welcome, everybody, to the Eyes on Big podcast, your go-to Big Ten football podcast, brought to you by the Amador Whiskey Company. I'm your co-host, Jeffrey the Greek, joined as always by...
This is Big Kurt here.
Big Kurt, are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter. I'm Big Kurt on Twitter at B1GKURT.
And I am Jeffrey the Greek at Jeffrey the Greek. Thank you so much for listening and downloading the podcast. We are recording this on Friday evening. I am watching women's basketball. I'm on a cleanse. Things that 30 some or 20, especially 20 some year old Jeff would be like, bro, what's going on here, bro?
Yeah, we got to sit down and have a talk here. What's going on, man?
Hey, it's who I am.
I have to admit, you know, part of it was just locale being in my man cave, so to speak, recording. I turned the Iowa women's game on too. I guess I've got the bug a little bit.
It's hard not to miss. I am mere miles away from the women's basketball tournament right now. I've been asked several times, are you there? Are you trying to go? I would love to be there. I would love to see Caitlin Clark and this team play, but I mean, I'm hearing 5 hour waits in line in order to access the Timberwolves, you know, and get to the game. I got a job and a wife and two kids, man. Like, I would have to, I just can't do it. I'm ecstatic that this is happening to this sport. And obviously with, you know, Iowa being, you know, I would say at the forefront of it, but man, I just can't get down there.
No, I mean, that's something you do as a youngster. Like, for instance, the Illinois-Purdue basketball game that just happened, you know, Purdue beat Illinois in Champaign. The student section, it's a first come, first serve.
Okay.
And so the line started forming at 7:30 a.m.
That's crazy.
And it was a night game. So people sat there for 12 hours before the game outside.
I mean, even
when I was 20 yes, years old, I don't think I would have done that.
I was just going to say, I certainly am not pulling that off in my advancing years. Even 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I don't know. It's not in my DNA. yeah. And then on top of it, my wife has become a Hawkeye football fan because I've browbeat her into submission, but she's not a basketball fan in general. She's a Minnesota gal, which means the winter sport that she grew up with is hockey. We went to a high school basketball game last winter for where our kids go to school. She told me it was the first basketball game she's ever been to in her entire life. Yeah, there's a big one. So
wow,
getting her, you know, to go do something that like that with me, with our boys, it's just not in the cards. But man, happy for how great the tournament is. Somebody pointed out on Twitter, is actually a good point. They should have hosted this thing at the football stadium, at US Bank Stadium, so they could bring more people in and set a basketball court on the football field.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Like, you know, old school NCAA final game, like Final Four type of situation, right? Where they play it in this huge arena.
And by the way, first thing I always think about when that happens is the difference in shooting in just bigger or smaller gyms that you would go to. I've never shot in a football stadium before. It's got to be one of the weirdest things in the world.
It's got to be a tough adjustment. When you think about the NCAA doing that, it's the biggest games of the year, and you're right off the bat throwing off all the players. Everyone that's playing the game has to make a huge adjustment.
Adjust on the fly. And I would assume some people just adjust better to that specific set of parameters of the depth perception stuff. I would be horrible at it. I wasn't a good shooter to begin with. But anyways, that's where we're at. Safe. Hey, Eyes on Big fans. Sorry about the hiatus. Just short of a month when I get this out tomorrow that we've last recorded. Partially my fault, partially Kurt's fault, schedule things. We've had people hit us up in DMs like, are you guys going to do the Big Ten West grades? Yes, we are. This is the podcast, the final podcast that we'll be able to put the Big Ten West title on for something. So,
and
end of an
era.
To
be clear, I feel no shame in the hiatus.
No, it is what it is. There was literally nothing I could do about it, but happy to be recording. Happy to get feedback from this. So just a couple bullet points that we'll hit here. And then we'll get into the Big Ten West team grades for the season. Remind me to set our criteria again of what we graded, because I'm always great at forgetting that right when we get into it. And then our biggest topic after the women's basketball talk will be that we are setting forth a debate slash rules for when it is okay to wear a jersey. So
Well, we're
potential.
basically giving the world the rules. These are going to
Yes.
be the rules.
These are the
Yeah.
rules. Correct. Whether you like it or not, folks,
Right.
listeners, people on Twitter, these will be the rules. First couple little tidbits here. One thing that Bicker could not care less about is that, and this is, by the way, how long it's been since we've recorded. This would have been new news if had we recorded 2, 3 weeks ago, but officially, EA Sports College Football, NCAA Football is back. It will be back this summer. I don't think we have an official date yet. Is at least a fraction of your cold, dead heart sort of excited to see this video game back?
Not in the least, although I gotta say, I got a nice pat on the back from our friend Mark Shipper on the Twitters because I made a joke and I used the term it's in the game.
Okay.
And he was impressed. He's like, that's amazing that you pulled that because nobody's been saying that. That was the saying for that game,
Oh,
right? It's in the
it's in
game.
the game. Yeah, all EA Sports, like they say it in front of the Madden game too. It's EA Sports.
Okay.
There was actually
But
one of my go ahead.
the comment that I made sense. It's in the
Yes.
game. Made
Yes.
sense in the comment. And he's like, that was an amazing poll. So
Because
thank you. Just patting myself in the back, thanking
Well,
myself.
and Mark knows us well, so he knows that you don't know the video game. So
That I,
probably more than
yes.
anything, he was shocked that you were able to pull that off. Yeah, but EA Sports, it's in the game. That's been around since pretty much, I don't know, the beginning of EA Sports. My favorite EA Sports game, maybe of all time, other than the NCAA football game, was a game called SSX Tricky. It was a snowboarding game. Oh man, the hours I spent playing that on PS2. Anyways,
Sounds riveting.
it's I think I'm going to put out my predictions for Iowa football players' ratings of what they will be in the game. Pardon the pun, in the game. I didn't even try to do that. Just so you know, Kurt, if you're over a 90, which actually is apropos for our grading scale that we will do here, you're a good player, okay? Crazy you might be, surprised by this. College football fans probably love their team and players more than the general public does, which means there will be players that the fans think are going to be like a 95, and they're probably going to be like an 86. And
Sure.
it's going to piss college football fans off something fierce. And I can't wait to see that go down. It's going to be a blast to watch on Twitter.
You know, we could almost use the rules we're about to place down for video games too.
We could. Yes.
Maybe that should be the next little set of rules or rankings we do.
We could do that. So anyways, that's going to be fun to see. We will and my 8-year-old son, 8 and a half, getting there, is getting into Madden. My 5-year-old son is too, but he just kind of bounces around. But it could be timing out perfect for yours truly. So if there's one cold dead heart thing, it's I am picturing myself battling my own son in the football game. Like, I'm going to browbeat him this fall. Like, he's got no chance. There will be no
Oh, yeah.
mercy. But over time, as he develops his game in the game, can't wait. Can't wait. Okay. Moving on. Weird, but if you were paying attention to this story, not as weird. Mike Hart, Michigan running back legend, awesome football coach, part-time head coach at Michigan, just came out today that he will not be back at Michigan. Any thoughts that you have on that news?
I guess first thought is sad to hear. He's a Michigan guy. He belongs at Michigan and I like him. I like him as a coach. Oh, great reputation as a recruiter. He really established himself while at Indiana. That's when we started the podcast. He was an Indiana guy and was doing a great job over there. So just sad to see him go, I guess, and leave the Big Ten.
Agreed. All-time good dude. Sounds like there's some health reasons potentially. I don't know if people remember, but he dropped on the sideline during a game, a couple years ago. So that could be something that's out there. I do think him getting passed over by Sharon Moore and not getting a healthy look by the University of Michigan for the head coach. I agree with Michigan. I think Sharon Moore was more set up to be a head coach and ready for Mike Hart. Mike Hart needs a little bit more time out there. It's probably a good thing for Mike Hart to get away from the mothership and see what's out there. I don't think Michigan wanted to lose him as a running back coach slash recruiter. Anybody that says that is BSing themselves. With that being said, I don't think it was an attainable goal that he could stay on the coaching staff. So this is what we got.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. All right. That's about all I get for, or all I have for the housekeeping items. So we will go on to the 2024, or just all time, I guess, rules.
All time.
Rules for wearing a jersey. The rules, commandments. There's probably a kitschy kind of fun way we could do this, but I don't know. We'll just jump in. You ready?
Well, hold on, and let's establish this. You're presenting the rules.
I'm presenting the rules,
and I am going to react to the said rules.
And what's been interesting, folks, is behind the scenes, there's a text group that Kurt and I are on with our buddies Patrick and Jason. Shout out to Jason, who gave no input whatsoever in our chat group. It was almost like he was not existent when the three of us were discussing it. I thought what we were going to do was come up with a formalized set of rules, and then we would present them on the podcast. My guy, Big Kurt, just threw me a curveball where I gave my shot at the rules off of our conversation. He went radio silent on me. You ghosted me, bro. Now what you want to do is I'm going to give my rules and you're going to give fun retorts to them, whether or not you agree or not.
That's how this is going down.
Okay, but I'm not letting you off scot-free, because when we were going through these in our text group, you were discussing some of these that I will also be discussing.
Yeah, I just feel like you missed the mark. It's not like you missed the whole target. Sometimes you're just not hitting a bullseye on some of
these. Okay. All right, we'll see. So I think how we're going to do this is we're going to have an open debate. This is like Senate floor stuff, right? We're going to debate this. If we come to an agreement, then I'll release it on Twitter.
Yes. Okay. Senate floor, except civilized.
Okay. And actually productive. Yes. Okay.
And productive. There you go.
Okay. All right. Number one, this really is the rule that we go off of. And then we have iterations from the rule. Okay. Number one, all jersey wearing is allowed for all individuals up to their 21st birthday. See, on their 21st birthday and past, there are now subset rules where you are allowed to wear a jersey.
See, so you're saying if you can legally drink a beer, you can't wear a jersey. I'd like to alter it a little bit. If you can die for your country, you can't wear a jersey.
You'd go all the way back to 18.
I think 18. I think we drop it to 18. I feel a little more comfortable there.
Interesting.
You're an adult. You're out. You've been released into the wild. Yeah. In the wild, you don't wear a jersey.
A thought that I have here is everybody is an idiot their first year of college, or at least the ones that are doing college correctly are idiots, which means I feel like maybe there's somewhere in between where like 19, maybe 19 is the right age.
19 and 8.5 months.
19 and 8.5 months. Okay. So you want to go right in the middle?
Okay. I know that's not exactly right in the middle,
but somewhere over there. Okay. Okay. So is that the, I'm fine with that. We can go less than 21.
How about 20? Would you settle on 20?
20 is fine. Should we go 20? Nice even number. Okay.
Yeah.
So first rule has already been amended to all jersey wearing is allowed until your 20th birthday. All of that jockeying that we just did was for 365 days. Just so you know, we just went back 1 year.
Hey, like I said, do they ever compromise on the Senate floor?
No, we're already more productive. We're already more productive. All right. Well, I gotta change my wording here. Okay. After your 20th birthday, you're allowed to wear a jersey, but only under these conditions. Okay. Number one, or I, as I have it, you are the wag, wife or girlfriend, of the person actually wearing the jersey.
Absolutely. 100%. Yes.
Okay. You're okay with that.
Yeah.
All right. Side note, one of the sexiest things that you can ever have in your life is being a wearer of jersey, in my case, a football player, seeing your lady friend wearing the opposite colored jersey. Ooh, brother, that still gets you in the feels right there.
Oh, yes. I'm getting a little chubby right now.
It's just the way it is. I hope they still do that. I bet.
Oh,
they
I'm sure they do.
Okay. Football, hockey, whatever. It's just an amazing look. Okay. Subset rule two. If you are the parent of the person wearing the actual jersey, subset of that one, however, dads are only allowed to wear that jersey on senior day.
See, now I disagree with that. I am on board with the parent thing. I think it should be mom, dad. If you're at the game, mom or dad, you get to wear the jersey.
Boy, my dad had three college football sons. I don't remember him ever wearing a jersey of ours during our college careers.
I didn't say you have to wear it.
Yeah.
I said you could wear it.
Boy, like, this there, is a
first
debate
of all,
here.
There are some people that just are not jersey people, and they know it in any condition, so they don't do
it.
Yeah,
those are called guys. Those are called men.
Most guys.
Okay.
But
I
then
don't know.
Some people, I'm sorry, I just disagree with that, and I disagree pretty strongly.
Both parents is what you're saying.
Yes.
Anytime. Okay. Here's what I need. When can the parents wear the jersey? That's where I need a line of demarcation.
During the game.
Okay. Just during the game. Or
yeah.
Or tailgating before the game.
Yeah. I mean, day of the game.
Day of the game. All right. Yeah. Okay. We can do that. We can do that.
Okay.
I still say the mom should be wearing the jersey more often.
That's fair.
Dad.
I mean, I would list mom first, but I think I'm gonna all get right. Almost unanimous agreement on my side here with the dads.
You might get more than I thought. There will be old school dudes on my side though. That much I know. Okay, all right. Subset rule I. You can wear a jersey if it's a huge sports occasion and the jersey you're wearing is of somebody at least 10 years older than you that was playing when you were a child. I'm going to give an example, okay? A 38-year-old Vikings fan, okay? So we're saying like current terms, right? I believe this math I did would work out. A 38-year-old Vikings fan can wear a Randy Moss jersey at a Super Bowl party if the Vikings are playing in the Super Bowl. Good?
And now okay.
Insert
I'm
chuckle
listening.
Here. But
I'm listening.
So if you've always had it, that's the best way. So if you were like a 17-year-old senior and you got your Randy Moss jersey, okay, now he's, well, actually, I didn't look it up. I think he's roughly 48 something years, 50 years old, right? I mean, I think Randy Moss is over 50.
Yeah, he's a little younger than me, 47, something like that.
Is that? Boy, I think he's older than that. Well, the point I'm trying to make is that my rule has that he is at least 10, that the person is actually 10 years older than you. I got to look this up. This is great podcasting here. Randy Moss. Oh, wow. He's 47. Okay. So I should have used 37-year-old Vikings fan. Nice call. I have the 37-year-old Vikings fan. Super Bowl. He's had a Randy Moss jersey since he was a sophomore or junior in high school. It's a major event, which I'm trying to emphasize here by the Vikings making the Super Bowl. You go to a Super Bowl party. You have been waiting your entire life to see the Vikings play in a Super Bowl. You rip out your Randy Moss jersey from that you had back in high school. This is when I can allow it.
Okay, but I think you have you have to have had that from childhood. I think you cannot buy it as an adult, period.
Fine with that. Okay, I'm fine with that. We are not allowing a Amazon order of Randy Moss jersey to wear to the Super Bowl party. You would have already had to have purchased that a decade or two in advance in order to wear it. Okay, I'm good with that. That's good.
And have to figure out where it is in your house, turn it upside down, wife's yelling at you.
Yes. Like, you're not going to wear that thing, are you? And you're like, I've had this since I was a sophomore in high school. Okay. Yeah. Now, it doesn't have to be necessarily, you know, the biggest sporting event in the world. Now, that's where some debate is at, right? This is where, the political and sports talk radio will go nuts. Because then we'll debate how big of an event it needs to be in order to be granted permission to wear that jersey. Certainly a Super Bowl, World Series.
Yeah, a championship.
A championship. How about just getting into the college football playoffs?
Yeah, that would probably work too, because you never know when you're going to be back. NHL, if it's the finals of the 7-game finals, but you could wear it on game one if you want.
Okay.
Major League Baseball, World Series, any of the games in the World Series.
But you're not technically going to win a championship round one of the college football playoffs. But
it doesn't matter.
That's a big enough event. That's a big enough event to you. However,
because again, that could be your Super Bowl. Like, let's say Illinois somehow gets into the college football playoff. I'm wearing the jersey because I know we're going to lose.
But yet, the Vikings making the wild card too soon.
Okay.
I mean, it's a finicky line of demarcation that we're talking
about. If anybody needs clarification, just ask me. I'll tell them if the game is worthy or not.
You can come to me too, but yes, I would say obviously Big Kurt and Jeffrey the Greek are the world's foremost jersey wearers. Now I'm going into the Jersey Bill of Rights. Do you have anything to add here with the actual, because we got through somewhat quick.
Okay, I've got a couple things to add here.
Okay.
I've got a couple exceptions.
All right.
Exception number one, a Pat Tillman jersey.
Oh boy. See, we're opening up a can of worms now.
Here's another one.
Go ahead.
What about a throwback jersey that's just it's a team, it's a real team, but it's not a specific player even. It's just like a 1956 vintage Georgia Tech jersey.
No, can't allow it.
Okay.
No. Now, back to the Pat Tillman type. So like Arizona Cardinals or Arizona State fan? Did he play for
either
Cardinals?
One.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Where do we draw the line? Like, did you have to? I don't know.
I mean, I think you have to be a fan of one of those two teams, and I think if that's the case, I think you could even potentially be just carte blanche allowed to wear it to any game. That's
okay.
SB game.
So there's some form of player that jersey has reached such a status, which I would think would really be off the field, you know, things that went down. You get canonized and you now that jersey can be worn by anybody.
Yeah. Or like a Jackie Robinson jersey.
Okay.
See?
I got
a couple of good exceptions here.
You, sir, are going to have to come up with a list of those type of, so we got two strong ones right now. I'll give you credit for that. Jackie Robinson and Pat Tillman this should pretty much be a Mount Rushmore type of thing. Like if you get much past
fair.
Four.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I will let you come up with that.
Okay.
And you can come up with the list. I will be the one that says yay or nay to who is on that list. Now I'm not saying you have to getting much over four seems to be loose and sloppy with that list. And in all honesty, a discredit to Jackie Robinson and Pat Tillman. So
true.
If it's going to be somebody else, they're going to have to be up there with those two. So good luck to that right there. Anything else to add to the potential? Those were good. Okay. Then the Jersey Bill of Rights, because there's different ways that jerseys can be enjoyed. Maybe that's the best way to put it. A, you can put a jersey on the wall if, one, it's your jersey.
See, I don't know. I don't feel good about that.
My jersey is on my wall. I played football at Iowa. When I got done, they presented me with my name on the back of the jersey with a picture of me and my parents. And I didn't buy it. It was presented to me.
Sure.
That thing's going on my wall.
Okay. And a good point. Why don't we just fast forward to number two?
Which is if it's a gift.
And I agree with that. So a gift, yes. But if it's just, hey, that I played, I'm going to frame my jersey and put on the wall. I disagree with that.
Boy, I disagree with you on okay. that. Okay. That yeah, is I, huge. So
we're going to have to put that to a vote.
What I'm saying is, if you played, if you played football at Wisconsin, and then you went on to play in the NFL and played for the Dallas Cowboys and Cincinnati Bengals, and then you retired or you were done with football, you have very much in your right to put your Wisconsin Cowboys and Bengals jersey up on the wall. Okay. How can you deny that?
We're going to have to put that one to a vote.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Going to be
let's
a Twitter
put it,
vote right
let's
there.
Put it to a vote, because yep. I think you're going to lose that vote. We'll see. Number three, it was a jersey you were wearing under the age of 21 during a major sporting event. So if you were like wearing a jersey I have to say under the age of 20, excuse me. So maybe you were wearing a jersey when your team won the national championship or the Super Bowl. And it's like,
so now it's become a good luck jersey.
Good luck jersey. This was one of the literal happiest times of my entire life. I didn't even know it at age 14 when I was wearing this jersey, but my team won a championship during my, you know, I was so stupid at 14. I just thought my team would win multiple championships in my life. Here I am at 37. I finally have my own man cave. I can hang that jersey up on the wall and be like, as a part of a memorabilia thing.
Yeah, sure. I think so. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So you're good with that. Weird that you would be okay with that, but take exception to somebody actually.
Well, it's a little narcissistic, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I think that's allowed. And I think it's like when you achieve that level.
Can we amend?
Good. It's no different. It's no different than if you're in sales and you achieve a high level of sales and your company gives you an award. I don't think people think that's narcissistic to put that up on your wall.
Okay. Let me tell you something.
That's essentially the same thing. Or how about if you played at Illinois and you were the team MVP in 1998? You're trying to tell me that you can't put that up on the wall? Of course you're going to put that up on the wall. Hanging your jersey next to it, perfectly acceptable behavior. Narcissistic? Yeah, sure.
Okay, on the sales awards things, I have a personal rule with that. When I get an award, I throw the previous award out.
Interesting.
And it's a reminder. The reward is a reminder. How long has it been since I got an award?
Ooh, there you go.
So it's a motivator for me. As soon as I get the next one, that one gets thrown out.
So once that 2019 plaque is starting to collect dust, you're like, I gotta get
my ass in gear.
Now, I feel like you could get the same effect if it went 2015, 16, 17, and 19. And now you haven't, you still got that same effect. You still got that 2019 plaque just staring back at you every time you sit down and start spitting your game.
Goes back to the narcissism, I guess. It just doesn't feel right to me. Okay, and then can we, with this hanging jersey, can we at least have a sub, if it gets approved by the listeners, can we have a sub text that says only in your man cave?
Yeah.
You're not going to put your living room.
Preferably in your man cave. But then it gets into, do you have the ability to have a man cave? We are making
if you don't, then sorry, you just can't hang it up.
All right. Well, my whole basement is my man cave. So does this count? You know the downstairs athletic club. Yeah. This is the man cave.
It's the man cave.
Yeah. All right. Interesting. You took this into areas that I didn't think we would go, which I could tell you were going to do. That's why you were being cagey and you weren't getting back to me. So, okay.
Cagey,
and,
that's a great descriptor. Yeah, I've always been called cagey.
You are a cagey bat. Last thing, you can keep any jersey under the condition that you pass it on to a younger sports fan.
You can keep any jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, but you're that's passing it on, so you're not keeping it.
Right. You can keep it with the thought process that I'm going to pass it on to somebody else. If okay. you're keeping a jersey just for keeping it, I feel like, come on, just throw it out.
So you're, be done with you're it. You're keeping it whilst waiting to bequeath to the youngster.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. It doesn't have to be your son or daughter. It could okay. be your nephew. It could yeah, be anybody.
I
guess
I'm fine with that.
But at some point, if you're holding on to that Dak Prescott jersey, like, dude, throw it out. Like, I'm kind of right. taking the wife's point of view here. Like, hey, and I've never done this. I want to be clear. This has not come up in my marriage. I have two sons. The only jersey I have in the house is one that was on my back at one point. I'd like to be clear there. But, like, I'm not going to throw it away because maybe I'll give it to my son at some point. Or sons.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Good. All right.
That's
continue.
It. That's the yep. rules.
Okay. The then Unless can I add one more?
Sure.
Because, and well, again,
you could try to add one more. We will see if it's added or not.
This is only within the realm of the man cave. But if you have, okay, let's go back to the Randy Moss scenario where you're more than 10 years younger than Randy Moss. And at some point, any point really in your life, you have a signed jersey of Randy Moss, but signed by Randy Moss, and you have that hanging on your wall because you're a Vikings fan.
So the signature now takes it into an echelon.
Yeah, now it's become memorabilia at that point, and it actually has some value too.
That's fine. I'm good okay. with that. Yep. So you could be using the Randy Moss Vikings fan timeline. You could be 36 years old and have just gotten Randy Moss to sign a brand new jersey that you purchased earlier that day at Shields. And he signed yeah. it at the Eden Prairie Shields. You are yep. now allowed, it has crossed into memorabilia era to be able to put on the wall.
Correct. You could. That's the scenario in which you can buy it as an elder person because it is memorabilia, not clothing.
I tell you what I like about that is that takes effort. You're going to have to go out and seek out the athlete and that athlete's signature in order to cross that threshold. I'll allow it. That's fine. That's good.
Okay.
All right. Yep. We're going to get a lot more subset laws is what I think. People are going to.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but I got this from my dad when it's going to be close. We'll have to, you know, this thing's going to have different tentacles and everything as we go through.
Oh, it's going to have legs, baby.
All right, that's it. All right, that's it for that segment. The Eyes Up Big podcast is sponsored by the Amador Whiskey Company. Our unique process takes the highest quality Kentucky bourbon and finishes in California wine barrels. This double barrel aging technique creates characteristics from the individual barrels that are blended together to make an exceptional whiskey. Perfect sip neat or in your favorite bourbon cocktail. Amador is the perfect go-to this fall on game day. Amador Whiskey Company, born in Kentucky, raised in California. Shout out to all of our listeners that both enjoy alcoholic beverages and do not. We appreciate you both. Just want to say that.
Indeed.
All right. Now we will get
I respect the non-drinker.
Probably should respect the non-drinker more than the drinker because it takes more personal self-discipline for the second part.
And the older I get, every time I drink, I have more respect for the non-drinker.
Understood. It's a law of diminishing.
Diminishes.
Yeah.
Law of diminishing returns.
Yes, law of diminishing returns. I'm actually having a couple cocktails here. Maybe that's why I couldn't spit that out. All right, here we go. So before we get into the Big Ten West, we will start one down to the bottom. Do you want to give the rules on where your grading curve comes from?
Okay, yeah. Just a quick overview of my grading curve. My grading curve has to do with my preseason expectations. That's a big part of it.
Huge.
Versus where they actually finished. It doesn't necessarily mean that because they finished below my expectations, I'm going to give them a bad grade because a lot of things happen during the season. A lot of things that are out of
a good
team's
point.
Control.
That's
happen.
A great point.
And same the other direction. Just because you exceeded or even matched doesn't mean I'm going to give you a good grade, because maybe you dropped a couple games that you just should not have lost. You just handed them away. So it's mostly preseason expectations with result and in the comparison of the two, but it's a sliding scale.
Really couldn't have said it much better. I would say there's two things to take into account for preseason expectations: what the public in Vegas put out there and what I thought would be, because they're two different things. So, and then where the team wound up.
Okay, I'm glad you pointed that out, because I don't care about Vegas's expectations. I'm my own Vegas. I care about my expectations.
You're your own casino. I am combining my own casino with the win, okay? Or, you know, or Circus Sports. So, like, I'm kind of using both there. So that's how I would define that. Okay, you ready to go? We will now get into the grades. First team up, first in the Big Ten West, the Iowa Hawkeyes, 10-2, regular season, 7-3 in the Big Ten with the loss in the Big Ten Championship, 10-4 overall with the loss in the bowl. Preseason, had Vegas had Iowa at 8.5. Big Kurt says, I think Iowa will be better, said 10-2. JTG, myself, said, I think Iowa will be better. I think they'll be 10-2. They went 10-2. Back Pat, right? Both of us, we both nailed Iowa's record. What say you about the 2023 Iowa Hawkeyes?
Yes, I mean, you know, obviously, great job winning the West, the last West champions ever. So congrats to them for that. Losing only two games, and let's be honest, the Minnesota one was questionable. Like, I could have even potentially undershot here. If that was the case, their only loss would have been at a really good Penn State team. Now, granted, it was a drubbing. And sure, you can complain about the offense all you want, but the only thing that really matters is the W column.
I would say it's the only thing that matters, but is the 95% thing that matters. There is a entertainment factor that comes into play. I'm saying that to try to appease the group. With that being said, any 4-8 team that's exciting would immediately give their season up for a boring 10-2 season. You can't convince me otherwise. So,
and no boring 10-2 season would ever say, you know, I'd rather have that exciting 4-8 season.
Exactly. So I feel like people throw out the stuff, the negative stuff on Iowa too much. Maybe there's Iowa fatigue with that. Love that Iowa is the permanent West champs. Don't feel like Iowa fans have even played that up enough. Maybe that'll come around come next fall. But with that being said, it is one of the greatest feast or famine football teams, programs of all times. But looking at, you know, basically focused on 2023, the defense, incredible. The offense, horrible. Won every game almost against teams that were mediocre or bad. Got destroyed by the best teams on their schedule. There never was a gray area there. It was either black or white, you know, red or green, whatever you want to call it. That is the perplexity that was the 2023 Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at the most, maybe I shaved 1 point off for lack of style.
Lack of style. Yes. And
instead of like a 92, I gave him a 91.
Which is interesting because I had an 85. Jordan, the friggin' Russian judge, had Iowa at 80%, which is a bottom level B minus. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. By the way, team MVP, we don't want to go over that. My team MVP is Torrey LaVarker, which of course is a combination of Torrey Taylor, LaVar Woods, and Phil Parker.
Oh, I like that. I just went with the defense. I mean, I obviously I see where you're going there. I like it, but, I got the chance to go see Iowa play in person at the Big Ten championship game. And keep in mind, I watched a national championship Michigan team win that game 26-0. And I will tell you, of the six total units in that football game, on that football field, offense, defense, special teams times two, the best single unit was the Iowa defense. I'm not exaggerating. It was incredible to watch.
Wow, that's That's high praise that you just gave right there. So I appreciate you saying that. So anyways, 91, 85, and 80. Here's Jordan's comments. 10-4 Big Ten West champs means something, in parentheses, something no other West team can say. We don't need to talk about the O. We know it's terrible. The question is, do the special teams in D make up for it in a grading system? 2 out of 3 is 66%. I think this team is better than a C or D grade for sure. But how high can you go? So the highest he went was 80, B minus. So at 91, 85, and 80, that winds up at an 85.3, which is a solid B, which is 0.3 higher than I had all on my own. So
wacky,
I guess we got there.
Wacky, wild stuff there. Feel like you sandbagged it a little bit because it's your team. I don't know how you give a 10-2 team that wins their division anything other than an A.
Yeah.
And I went with a low A at a 91, and I even toyed with a 90. I'm like, no, I can't go with a 90. I mean, they were a testy hair away from being 11-1 in the regular season.
I had that thought go through my head. I did. I had that thought go through my head, and then I had all the Iowa haters coming at me. So maybe I did sandbag subconsciously a little bit with that. Tip of the hat to you, my Illini friend, for being the highest ranked graded person. I would never expect you to be the highest grader, but I appreciate it.
And to Jordan, what 80. Would you say you do here?
I love calling Jordan out on the carpet. And by the way, Jordan's like, dude, I gave these grades like 6 weeks ago. Like he's probably forgotten what he's even graded these teams out. So it's going to be a surprise to him.
He's about to get blasted on Twitter by Iowa Nation. I love it.
All right, moving on to the next team, the 2023 Northwestern Wildcats. 7-5 overall, 5-4 in the Big Ten, win their bowl game to finish 8-5. Their Vegas total was 3. 3 total wins on the year. You think that's ugly? Big Kurt had them finishing 2-10. You think that's ugly? I myself had them finishing 1-11. Sons of bitches went 7-5 overall.
What? I can't believe you just, hold on, I can't believe you just said that. In my notes, I literally have these sons of bitches.
Say, dude, it's insane. We officially thought they were in the cooler. They were in the morgue. They're dead. The witch that was the Northwestern man, Pat, you should see. You folks should see Big Kurt right now throwing out the angry shaking fists like it was done. I cannot forget their head coach getting interviewed, his first freaking like time as a major college football coach. And they're like, coach, how's your team looking? And Bron's like, pause, shake head, pause. We got a lot of work to do. And I'm like, oh my God, they're horrible. They're horrible.
Was that comment by him part of the Northwestern wizardry? Was he throwing us off the scent? Did he know?
It would be fun to go down the joking theme, but no, he was scared shitless, man. He looked like a deer caught in headlights. Yet somehow they pulled this. By the way, their best players had either gone pro or transferred. That's another thing, too.
I know.
And they do this. They should write our guy Chappie. I think he's still alive. They should write a book. He should write a book on this team. It's incredible.
He should. And you look right out of the gate, they lose at Rutgers. We weren't sure how good Rutgers was going to be. They turned out to be a solid team.
They didn't get beat by Rutgers. They got their shit pushed in.
They did. Okay, but then, so I was scared they were going to lose to UTEP. I was actually scared the Northwestern.
And I had Howard down as their only win.
Yep.
But I expected them to lose to UTEP. They did. They beat their ass 38-7.
Right.
Okay. So
turn right around and get throttled by Duke.
And they're like, okay. So they got up for the home game versus UTEP. And then I when you look back on this season,
That was the
how
season.
much did fortunes change for both Minnesota and the
Oh.
Northwestern when they pulled that win out of their purple arse to beat Minnesota?
Yeah, I mean, and they Minnesota, you can say, snatched defeat from the jaws of victory, and Northwestern snatched
Yes.
victory from the jaws. But the game was over, and then suddenly they
They come
won,
back.
and totally different season at that point.
Destroyed by Penn State, they beat Howard, but brother, they didn't look good when they beat Howard. It wasn't like a win you felt good at. So they're sitting at 3-3. You're already amazed that they're 3-3 at this point. You thought at best they would be 2-4. So really, even at the time, Jordan and I are recording, we're like, it's been a nice run, Northwestern. It was good for you to get up for some of these games in September and early October, right? At 3-3, because we're looking at Nebraska, Maryland, Iowa, Wisconsin, Purdue, Illinois. Like, it's just like that's it. They're done. I mean, they battled hard versus Nebraska, and then they beat Maryland, battled hard versus Iowa, and then finished going win versus Wisconsin, win versus Purdue, win at Illinois.
Yeah, sitting at 4-5, not even a winning record, and then end up 7-5. It's amazing.
I don't know, man. This is, would I be crazy to say this is the most amazing, perplexing team slash season since we've been recording this podcast, the 2023 Northwestern Wildcats?
I mean, I have to think about it, but it's easily on the Mount Rushmore, but it's got to be it might be George Washington on Rushmore.
Freaking incredible. If you're picking up anger from Kurt and I, it's because we're angry.
Yeah.
We're an Iowa and Illinois fan, but we try to be as neutral as we can be. We thought you were dead, and you came back again. It's amazing. Team MVP, I have David Braun. Like, you have to. It has to be
The
the head
okay.
coach.
The only other one I was considering is this is all a big conspiracy, and it's Fitzgerald for knowing that he had lost his wizardry and going out and finding a new wizard and passing the baton to the new wizard. That's the only other thing, but I'm not going to go conspiracy theory
No.
here. I'm just going to go straight David Braun.
And because that's another thing. I mean, Pat Fitzgerald is done. I mean, he has been cut out of the Northwestern family. So, no, there was none of this. This was David Braun. Just, I mean, he could wind up being an absolutely incredible coach. Kurt, I don't
But
know
what
if
I'm
people have
saying is
talked
Fitzy set up his own firing, is what I'm saying. That's my conspiracy theory.
I wasn't alone. You really went deep there. Sorry, you went past my.
Yes.
You went past my. Let's. It isn't crazy to think, Kurt, that David Braun goes 5-7 this year, and then 8-4 again the following year, and gets plucked by a big program and winds up being a phenomenal Power Five coach.
Yeah.
Right? Like we could be seeing in the midst of stuff. Of
Sure.
that. Yeah. All right. Big Kurt, what's your grade?
Okay, for Northwestern, I gave him a 90, so the lowest A. I mean, it's hard to give someone an A for 7 wins, but it just was so miraculous. I had to go A.
And by the
But
way, another thing, sometimes you are bringing the bowl win into play and sometimes you're not, correct?
I get to choose when I count the bowl and
Yes.
not count the bowl.
Are you counting here?
I'm counting the bowl.
Me too. I also have a 90. I'm exactly where you're at with exactly the same thoughts. Russian Judge, aka Jordan's, got him at 88. 88. So his breakdown, 8-5, no more impressive team in the country. No more impressive team in the country gives him a B plus. Boy, what kind of grades did Jordan
I
get?
repeat, Jordan, what would you say you do here?
All the stuff at the start of the season to win 8 games and a bowl game. What more can you ask for in a season? B plus.
An A? I could ask for an A, I guess.
I can feel Big Kurt shaking, knowing Fitzy Magic lives on. So
That's
with
true.
yeah, with the 89, with the 90, 90, and 88, that comes to 89.33, which is a B plus. All right, here we go. The 2023 Wisconsin Badgers, 7-5 in the regular season, 5-4 in the Big Ten, do not win their bowl game to finish 7-6 overall. Vegas had them at 8.5, winning the Big Ten West. Big Kurt, not that impressed, had them at 7-5. Shout out to Big Kurt for nailing them. JTG, yours truly, didn't have them winning the division. I did have them at 9-3. So, Big Kurt, nod to you. You got this. What do we think about the 2003?
And I'd also like to point out that I got their Big Ten record exactly right at 5-4 as well.
Nice
so
work,
there
man.
Was no team that I knew better in the Big Ten than the Wisconsin Badgers before the season. So
some would say, Kurt, that you even knew them better than their own fan base. What do you have to say about that?
I'll get to that, but one could say that that might be true. So what do I give them for a grade here? A solid season. I mean, you go to a bowl game, you're talking about a first year coaching staff. You're talking about drastically new schemes across the board. You're talking about transfers coming in. They had a major injury to their quarterback and lost him for a few games. So I feel like winning seven games and going above 500 in the Big Ten as a first year coach means you had a really good season. Not a great season.
Right.
But I have to give them a solid B at 83.5, and I thought about going higher.
Okay. Interesting. So I'm not as high as you. I am very much looking at expectations. I think part of it is...
which they nailed mine, personally, but go ahead.
Right. So, and I had them higher. I started off initially lower, closer to 7-5. I got intoxicated by the national media and as we have affectionately dubbed them, the Wisco Bros, right?
Yes.
The Wisco Bros. And I wound up pumping them up all the way to 9-3. I was never going to make them my Big Ten West champs. I had at least one, if not two other teams that I would have put in front of Wisconsin. So I was correct there. So my expectations, they fell further short of my expectations and short of Vegas. So I have them at a 77%, which is just on the C plus level. But here's what I would say is they were sitting at, you know, 5-5, danger of making a bowl. So we're two games out and we're not sure if Wisconsin could make a bowl. We were flirting with like a D minus at that point, correct? Now they won the last two games, Nebraska and Minnesota, to finish 7-5. So they get credit for that. But like, it can't be lost to me that they were that close to an absolute disaster on top of how we were browbeat. You know what? We were mostly browbeat by the Wisco Bros on our coaching rankings is where we got.
Yes, true. Right.
So we should probably clarify that. Coaching rankings going to be even more fun this year.
Oh, actually though, I got browbeat about picking them 7-5 and 5-4
as well.
By some Wisco Bros.
So several, you got double.
And I let them know it at the end of the season when they finished exactly where I predicted them.
Yeah,
Bicker. I bookmarked everyone and I let them know.
You're not a known receipt keeper, but for that one, you kept some receipts.
I did.
Yes. All right. 83.5 for Big Kurt. I had a 77. What's the Russian? Jordan, with a 72.
What is it?
72, Jordan had.
Wow. Man, so that's like my college calculus professor.
So at 83.5, 77, 72, that comes out to 77.5. So they just eke into the C-plus range. Team MVP, we're horrible at this, but it's got to be wide receiver Will Pauling. Start to finish, nobody performed better more consistently than Will Pauling.
Okay, disagree. Team MVP is me. Kurt, how could you be the team MVP for Wisconsin? I can tell you how, because I shoved it straight up the Wisco Bros' butts.
With an extra side of nacho cheese.
There you go.
And you're not, I've never known you to be a Wisconsin hater. When we like initially got to know each other recording the podcast, you didn't sit down and be like, oh, I can't wait to chew out them Wisconsin fans, by and large, I don't want to say docile, but they're not toxic at all. But
and
boy,
did
they come out for
but
our
let's
Wisconsin
be very
prediction.
Clear. This is a previously undetected layer of the Wisconsin fan base, these Wisco bros. So I'm not talking about traditional Wisconsin fans. I'm talking about these guys that came out of the woodwork because they hired Luke Fickell.
People that we had never interacted with on Twitter.
Never saw them before.
Never, and all of a sudden they just came out of the woodwork and just destroyed me, you, and Dustin. And because we were all in and that
right.
together. So that was mostly back to the coaching rankings. All right, now there is a log jam of teams, of course. It's the Big Ten West. So I just really went by how they were listed on the computer screen that I pulled them off of. So the next team up is the 2023 Nebraska Cornhuskers. 5-7 regular season, 3-6 in the Big Ten, 5-7, of course, overall without making it to a bowl. Vegas had them at 6.5. Big Kurt said, I don't see it. He went 5-7. I myself said, I don't see it. Went 5-7. Shout out to Big Kurt and Jeffrey the Greek. We nailed the actual score. What say you about the 2023 Nebraska Cornhuskers?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I might have gone a little bit high on my grade here, but the reason I went so high is, again, you can compare this team to Wisconsin, where new coaches, new schemes, transfers, you name it, questionable call with the quarterback room. That should really probably count against them. But you're taking over an absolute disaster where, you know, Wisconsin, you're taking over a solid program. You should have a better season. It wouldn't have surprised me if they won three games because Scott Frost left such a disaster behind him. So you take the disaster, you start over, and you actually put together a competitive football team and an amazing defensive football team. So I gave them an 83.5, but that might have been a little too high.
You are off base here, my friend. I believe Nebraska fans are going to disagree with your grade.
I think you're right.
And let me explain. Yeah. I think you know where I'm going here. No way, no how should a 5-7 team in Nebraska warrant an 83.5. Like,
but they finished exactly where I expected them to. So it's like I'm patting them on the head and saying, good job, you got your B.
I could maybe agree with your assessment had they gone 6-6, won their bowl game. If they went 7-6, then I'd probably be at an 83.5, right where you're at. Were expectations by Vegas too high? Yes. It was pumped up too high by seemingly Nebraska fans and their off-field national championship, who I feel like they're getting challenged by Ohio State this year, an actual national. So that much, I know that's baked into the preseason expectation cake with Nebraska. With that being said, every Nebraska podcast that I was either invited on or listened to looked at that schedule and said, listen, this is a bowl team. We should win enough games to go to a bowl. I cannot rank them or grade them out, is what I should say, that high with missing the bowl. You give me one more win, and this grade changes very much so, but they didn't get that win. That's where it has to be. So I have them at a 70.
70. Wow, that's pretty low, dude. I mean,
Jordan,
I guess
Jordan has them at 69. Giggle, giggle.
Oh boy. Yeah. I mean, I think both of you guys are too low. I just feel like this team, I didn't see a bowl team. I did see a bowl.
I said 5-7. I was so uncomfortable at that 5-7. I had a game between them and Purdue going back and forth. Like, it really wouldn't have surprised me for them to go 6-6 or 7-5. I thought they would at least get to a bowl. Like, I'm talking at two sides of my mouth, but it really surprised me, especially, how about this, Kurt? They were sitting at one point, 1, 2, 3, 4. They were 5-3, Kurt. 5-3.
Well, that is a great point. Is they did collapse, and you can certainly count that against
anyone.
Their
of those wins down the stretch, they go to a bowl game. You cannot give them a B grade. And I swear,
if I could do it again, I would go with a 79.9.
Okay. Do you want to trade it?
Let's go ahead and trade. I will go to, and it's 79.9 repeating.
Well, I can't do that on the calculator, but all right, that comes out to 218.9 divided by 3 is 72.96%. So that is a C-. Yes, C-.
By the way, I had them losing to Northern Illinois, I believe.
You did.
Yeah.
Okay. But preseason, you had them. Preseason. You thought they would get better as the season went on, type of deal. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I felt uncomfortable at 5-7 because I was like, I think I maybe should have gone 4-8.
Jordan's breakdown: 5-7, wash, rinse, repeat. Oh wait, they just fumbled again. Ooh, shot by Jordan there. The Rusky getting spicy here. The season was a repeat week after week after week. Oh look, another interception. The Rusky is getting, wow, this is, he's getting into KGB levels here. Defense continued to keep the team alive every week until doom inevitably happened. Pick six! He threw one last one in right there. That's not me.
Wow.
By the way, team MVP. This is not debatable. If you disagree with me, you're just a fool. It's Tony White, the defensive coordinator.
Incredible. And I even put most underrated defense in the country, ?
Yes. They're up there.
Never got a whole lot of respect, it didn't seem like.
Well, I agree that not as much as respect as they should have, because I mean, the other side of the ball. I mean, this was essentially not quite as good Iowa this past year. And one of the difference would be special teams, but the offense was quite bad. The passing game, awful. The defense, fantastic. The special teams, not quite as good as Iowa. And that's how they wound up at 5-7.
Iowa Light, indeed.
Next team up, the 2023 Purdue Boilermakers, 4-8, regular season 3-6 in the Big Ten, no bowl, which means they finishes at 4-8. Vegas had them at 5 wins total. Kurt also took them at 5-7. JTG got some, he was doing Boilermakers, slurping them down. I had him at 6-6. What say you about the 2023 Purdue Boilermakers?
Yeah, obviously underachieved by my standards, the only standards that matter. The Illinois game really saved them here from being, I might have even given them an F had they lost to Illinois.
Wow.
But they didn't. But they didn't only beat Illinois. They beat Illinois like a drum.
Hmm.
And so to me, that was the big game that saved them. Of course, they beat Minnesota, which they somehow find a way to always
do that. Yep.
And again, I'm factoring new coaches, new schemes. You knew it wasn't going to look great. They didn't have a great roster. So I gave them a solid 70, which is
70.
A passing grade. Good job. You passed anyway.
Yeah. I don't know how they lost to Fresno State to start the season, because, you know, I had them at 6-6. I'm really going to champion my own cause here. I swear, if they beat Fresno State, they probably find a way to win one more game to get to 6-6. They would have been 5-7, so you would have nailed it right there. Like, Syracuse was a letdown, but Virginia Tech was kind of a nice win. Didn't play good versus Wisconsin. Didn't play good versus Iowa. Ripped one out versus Illinois. It was a mercurial team to try to figure out. I never got a sense of what they were trying to be. With that being said, they fought all year long. Something to be said about your first year, you know, on the job. So all of that overall was fine. It wasn't awful. You went with a 70. I also went with a 70. Jordan, out of nowhere. And this is where you got to really look at the Russian judge, because you're like, okay, what is this Russian judge up to? Because he's got a 71. He's the highest out of us, but only by a little bit.
Yeah, he's like, is he setting us up for something here?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's where you're like, that freaking, you know, Smirnoff. That's the first Russian word I came up with. Alexei Pushitnov. Who is the inventor of Tetris, by the way? There's the name for you. Alexei Pushchinov must be, you know, like he's bought and paid for. That's what you think about the Russian drugs. Well,
sure.
Judges. First year under Ryan Walters. This is Jordan's breakdown, by the way. First year under Ryan Walters shows signs of promise, but lack of depth really caught up to them. I expected them to be towards the bottom this year, and they were also ending with a bucket win is great for them. That is a good point, beating Indiana. Yeah. MVP, I have Hudson Card's toughness. That is my team MVP.
Mm.
That dude took shots, which would be illegal in 37 states, was able to stay alive, kept fighting. Hudson Card and his toughness, that's my team MVP.
I thought about Hudson Card, and I like what you said there. I think it was his toughness more than anything, because he started out really good. You're like, oh, man, this guy's going to have a great season. I know he had some injuries, and as you said, got sacked 973 times or whatever it was. So he's beat up, and he really fell off as the yes. season went on. So
that's I'm what happens go with a little when bit. Your spleen is broken into 17 right. pieces.
So I'm probably going to get crap for this. I don't care. And part of it is a little bit of homerism for me. But this was a bad defense, right?
Not great.
Gave up a lot of points. I think most points in the Big Ten. So, Kurt, how can you choose a defensive player? I'm going with Dylan Thienemann, the freshman, who led the team in tackles with 106 from the safety position. It also led them in interceptions with 6. And here's what I'm really getting at. Ryan Walters has a sixth sense to be able to find a way to get his free safety to always be in a position to get interceptions. And Dylan Thienemann, as a true or a freshman, did exactly that. And so I'm giving it to him because this defense could have been way worse without him.
That's a great point. I like yours. Yours is good. Mine's more fun. Yours is actually on point. So good for you.
Honorable mention to Ryan Walters' swagger as the MVP.
For sure. We'll see how that swagger keeps swagging. You know, he's got the white man and overbite.
He does,
you know,
have
thing.
The, yeah, the white overbite. Man's over, underbite.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, or an underbite. Excuse me. Yeah. By the way, 70-70 and 71, that comes out to 70.33, which is a solid C minus. Okay, here we go. The 2023 Illinois Fighting Illini, 5-7 regular season, 3-6 in Big Ten play, no bowl game. So that means they finish at 5-7. Vegas had them at 6.5. I remember people putting money on Illinois in the over, and I remember thinking, why do I not feel confident with this bet? So I pulled off. With that being said, I picked Illinois 9-3.
Yeah.
But there was always this, and I think it's your voice, Kurt, in the back of my head that was like, don't put your own shekels down on this. Something could be off. Big Kurt goes at 7-5. We both oversold on Illinois, but damn it, we had reasons to like Illinois. What the hell happened?
Wow, what the hell happened? I mean, I would say out of the gate, the offensive line, which I was telling everyone to pump yes. the brakes on. This offensive line is sure. not as good as people are making it out to be. It was even worse than I expected it to be for the first half of the season anyway. Now, the flip side of that is, sure, we lost Ryan Walters on defense. I wouldn't be too worried because the front seven is so good. And it's not like the rest of the coaching staff doesn't know how to coach defense and call a defense. So I was kind of buying on the defense, and I lost there too.
That was the most.
I mean, I think that pretty much sums it up right there. I lost on the offensive line and lost on the defense. If you do both those things, you're looking at an underachieving team.
Generally speaking, if your offensive line underperforms and your defense isn't that great, you will have issues. Now, I will say the defense was good. I thought the defense would be phenomenal. Okay. I thought the defense would be almost as good as last year. Now, the only thing that you and I talked about that I think wound up come to fruition is Illinois lost a literal Big Ten great out of the secondary. And I am thinking that his ability to play football in 2022 was so big for that Illinois defense that we, even as we were amazed by how good he was, we were not taking into account going into next year how much he meant to that defense.
Yeah, we did. As good as he was, and he is probably and I don't say this lightly, the best defensive player I've ever personally watched Illinois, including Simeon Rice.
Wow.
I still thought a lot of it had to do with the rest of the team.
And we're talking about Devin Witherspoon, by the way.
Devin Witherspoon. But the rest of the team had to do with him. We just didn't know it.
Because how do you take that into account from a quarterback? But he had a good first year in the NFL, I thought.
He had a great first year in the NFL.
He was that good. He was that good. And it wasn't like the defense was bad. I probably overstated things at the beginning, but it stepped back more than I thought it would. Yeah. Then just, you know, inability to be consistent really anywhere. Like there was, you know, okay, we had warning signs barely beating Toledo. Toledo wound up being, by the way, a pretty good win. Like Toledo,
that
was,
one didn't even concern me.
It did not.
It concerned me the way they had to win, but I knew we could lose that game.
Right. And they won. I was disappointed in the performance at Kansas. Kansas also a very
That was the oh shit moment.
You were already oh shitting versus Kansas.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Now, speaking to Jordan, he was making fun of me all year long because I would not give up on the Illini. I kept saying they're going to be fine even after they got beat by Penn State. I was concerned versus Florida Atlantic, but I'm like, here we go. Purdue, it's the big boy, the great pumpkin going against his former pupil against Purdue. He's going to tell him what's up. 44-19 against Purdue. That's when I officially said, I'm sorry, something is wrong here. And it remained wrong pretty much the rest of the year.
Yeah. Although I will say they did turn it on the offensive line. I was really proud of the way they finished the season out. Yeah.
And amazing win versus Minnesota. The Indiana win was fun. So MVP, I might be crazy here. Let's go.
I got to get my grade.
Can we do MVP first? We should actually do MVP and then grades. Grades should be
okay.
Last. All
right.
Okay. You might think I'm crazy, but I want to give a tip of the hat career juice point. I feel like Isaiah, I just love that dude. Like he was an enjoyable human, could have bitched and moaned getting switched from quarterback, hung around, had a nice year. I think he's going to be a better pro than people think. Maybe think he will be. I got juice point as my MVP.
Interesting. I just can't not go with Johnny Newton.
That's fine.
Part of it is I have a desperate man crush on Johnny Utah Newton, as I'm just going to call him for some reason right now. Never called him that before, but he played the most snaps of any interior lineman for the second year in a row. I mean, just unheard of number of quarterback hurries, even when he wasn't getting to the quarterback, you know, taking up an extra offensive lineman on most plays. By the way, he played the whole year with an injured foot. Nobody knew it because he played so well. I mean, isn't that incredible?
He's incredible.
He just had surgery on it a couple months ago. He was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, I'll give a special shout out to the second half of the year offensive line, but for me, it's Johnny Utah Newton.
Can't wait to ask Thor about him. He's incredible, and he is the correct MVP, probably. I knew you'd pick him. That's why I went with Juice. Great.
Yeah. I went with the 70. It's a disappointing year. Yet there was also, again, with the turnaround, they did start playing pretty well in the second half of the year. They didn't get to the bowl game, unfortunately. They really kind of blew it against Northwestern, had a great chance. And the great memories that John Paddock gave us from the Minnesota game and the IU game. I mean, two miracle victories. And I got to say, I thought he played pretty well against Iowa, too, you know, considering the defense he was going against. So overall, 70. I can't hate the year, but I still got to give him a C-.
Yeah, I went with a 70 as well, and I flirted back and forth. Jordan went with a 69%. Nice. He likes that grade. I don't blame him for the 69 here, mostly because I think most of us had such big expectations of Illinois going into the year. 5-7, hard not to be left wanting more for this season. I didn't think they were West favorites, but to be 3-6 in the league, in my eyes, is a disappointment. Blown out by Purdue in the Northwestern shootout perfectly sum up the season to me. You just never knew what you were going to get. So at 70-70 and at 69, that winds up being a 69.66, which is a D+, which is an overall unfair grade there.
Nope.
Okay. Last team, but yet a team that went to a bowl. 2023 Minnesota Golden Gophers, 5-7. regular season, 3-6 in big play, made a bowl game because of their elite academic status, but won that bowl game to finish 6-7. Vegas had them at 7 wins total. Kurt had them tied with that at 7.5. Now, I'm going to take my lap here a little bit. I, at one point, had them 5-7. I got browbeat into 6-6. But even at 6-6, our local Gopher fans thought I was insane for ranking that low. Not quite the Wisco bro interactions that you had, but I would like to say, Gopher fans, I told you so. There were warning signs coming into the season to be concerned about. It's fine. We all get intoxicated by our own team, but I was more correct than anybody on this one. But what do you think about the 2023 Minnesota Golden Gophers?
Yeah, here's another one where I'm starting to look at this. I probably didn't spend enough time actually focusing on what grade I was going to give them. I think I might want to, I'm going to change my grade, but just barely. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, I had them at 7.5, and this might've been the toughest team for me to predict preseason.
Sure.
I saw them all over the place, and here's why I want to change my grade just a little bit. The Illinois loss was absolutely unforgivable. The way that they just tossed that one away.
Yep.
But the Northwestern loss was also unforgivable. So you have two games there you should not have lost. That would have put them exactly where I predicted them. But the way that they lost those games is so bad that I have to not upgrade them. I have to downgrade them for that. So I'm going to go instead of, had them at a solid 70, which is a C minus, which is bad grade, by the way. I mean, that's like me in biochemistry. It was terrible. But I still got a C. It's solid 70. So they're basically me in biochemistry, which is not good.
Right.
That's bad. It's bad. But I had them at a 70. I'm going to downgrade them to a 69. I think I'm going D plus.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't have to total this up. I can actually do that. Okay. Again, part of my expectations was that I did not expect them to be any better than 6-6. If they would have wound up 8-4, I would have given them a glowing grade because I didn't expect it to get there. The schedule was harder than what, you know, a lot of people, I think, gave them credit for. Pulled Nebraska game out of their arse to win, though. Eastern Michigan, they didn't look great, but, I mean, they were just obviously the better team. North Carolina kind of worked them a little bit, right? Then, of course, we go back to the game we've already broke down before. What would be the Minnesota season had they not blown it versus Northwestern? Because they looked amazing for the first three quarters of that game. And if you look back, the reason you thought Minnesota looked amazing was because they were playing Northwestern, right? So you still weren't getting them credit. But then you looked up and you were like, Louisiana, okay, Michigan, they're probably not going to win that at Iowa. If they win that game, Michigan State, Illinois, Purdue, Wisconsin, like you thought, oh my God, they could get on a run here. Then you
feel like
capped by Northwestern. Dude, it is a inexplicably amazing, tough, horrible, all those things loss.
I feel like had they beaten Northwestern, they would have also beaten Illinois and probably beaten Purdue.
I don't think you're crazy for thinking that. So you had them at a 69. I had them at a 71. Jordan had a 70. I don't have to do too deep a math to know that that winds up to be exactly a 70 C minus. I did use their bowl game in my grading. Otherwise, I might have been down in the D range with you. But getting to the bowl and winning it was big for me. So I gave him that. MVP. I can go either one of two guys. So I want, and you might be just having fun with this one, but you go first because it gives me the potential to take the other one.
I have the running back room.
Okay.
It was amazing. It was okay. Who's this Darius Taylor guy? Wow. He's really good. Oh, he's injured. Well, damn, there goes the season. Wow. Sean Tyler, he's pretty good too. And then Jordan Newman. And then Zach Evans and Bryce Williams even contributed. I just have the overall running back room.
That's fine. I don't think Minnesota fans will be upset with that. I would have gone specific to Darius Taylor. I mean, he was, when healthy, running back 1A, no doubt about it. But since you kind of took Darius Taylor in the running back room, I'll take Tyler Newbin on the other side. He's going
to
make.
Okay. And by the way, honorable mention to PJ's eye surgeon.
Those peepers are peeping, man. There's no doubt about that.
Well,
okay,
the thing is, they're bouncing back. Like, it just took some time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first, it looked really weird.
They're all looking now, a little bit better.
It's getting a little more natural looking.
Maybe
so,
when Peege is like
he
55.
He wasn't that bad after all.
Maybe when Peege is like 55, you're like, boy, that surgeon was ahead of his time a little bit, and he's going to look better. Yeah, could be. Jordan's breakdown, the 6-7, the injury bug stuck early and often, but boy, did that give us a nice look at some future talent. This team never really seemed to capitalize on key moments of the season, but they won the pick. God damn it. Much to the disdain of my buddy Greek, and that means something. Yeah, it does, Jordan, you freaking Rusky. I didn't need that last comment there, you son of a bitch. I'm just kidding. Love the guy.
Damn communist.
That's it. That is not only the end of the podcast, that is probably the end of us ever being able to break down something specific to the Big Ten West.
And by the way, if you notice my
rankings.
We should
be playing taps right now. Maybe
we probably should.
Maybe I can find that.
If you notice, my rankings didn't vary from the top to bottom by more than about 20 points. But that is so Big Ten West.
It is. It is Big Ten West. Yeah. And that's a fitting end to the division itself. But all right. There you go, man. You got anything else you want to add?
No, sir.
It's fun seeing your beautiful face.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah, looking good. All right. Unless you got anything else to add, I am Jeffrey the Greek.
And I am Big Kurt.
It's been the Eyes on Big podcast. We hope to have Thor Nystrom on soon or something like that. We got rankings. We got some other fun stuff. And we will talk to you soon.